this evening, verse 6. And we'll connect these verses, or we'll connect verse 6 to the text this morning, which was 1 through 5. We'll read all 6. We learned how to judge this morning, or how to discriminate. Tonight will be a different type of judging, or different discrimination that you're called to do. To discriminate, not in a bad sense, but I asked one of the kids in the back this morning, I said an Ozarka water and an Aquafina water before him. And I said, choose. And he chose Aquafina. I said, why did you choose Aquafina? He says, because it tastes better. So he discriminated. He made a choice. He chose the one that he wanted. That's a judgment. We make choices all the time like that. We judge what we want, what we don't want. Or as we learned in the text this morning, what's right and what's not right. So here in chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, or the speck, or the splinter out of thine eye, and behold, a beam, or a log, or a giant board is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them, that is, those words or those pearls, under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings on the word. I pray that you would speak to us this night. Help us, Lord. Father, with these truths spoken in the greatest sermon of all time, because preached by the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would help us to understand. Help us, Lord, to practice these things that he taught us and lived in his own life perfectly. We'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So this morning we learned about judging or judgment, really personal judgment, judging other people. And the question, is it okay to judge someone or to correct them or to tell them that they're doing something wrong? And think about the ramifications of not judging someone or not telling them that they're doing something wrong. Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The best of friends is the one that will come to you and tell you, you know what, you were doing something wrong. That's a judgment. And we should do those things for each other. So is it right or is it good? Yes, it is. Or we sometimes judge and we commend them when they're doing something very right. And then should we stand upon and declare what is biblically right and what is biblically wrong? Should we stand publicly on what is biblically right and what is biblically wrong? Should we take those positions biblically and morally, publicly, openly, and in accordance with God's revealed will? And what is wrong and not in accordance with God's will, should we be afraid to voice those objective opinions, I would call them? It's not really an opinion because it's based on the truth of God's word. So no, we shouldn't. We're absolutely right to do so. But when you do, we all need to be ready to be able to explain ourselves. Now listen, the world's going to tell you, I don't believe that book. They're going to tell you all kinds of things about the scriptures. But we need to be able to earnestly contend for the faith and to defend what we believe and why we believe those things. We need to be ready to explain ourselves in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So listen, if we don't judge, how can we go out and witness to people? How can we go out and tell them about Christ? I mean, listen, You're going to tell someone about Jesus Christ because you judge that the life that they're living is wrong. You're telling them that they've sinned against God. So you're pointing them away from their life and you're pointing them to Christ. And so you can't do that unless you make sound biblical judgments in the Word. Now, as we learned this morning in Matthew 7, we are to take heed how we personally judge others, how we express those truths to them. We're not to judge when someone's doing something right or wrong. We're not to judge by appearances. We learned that. We're to judge righteous judgment. And then don't forget that we're not to be people or persons that are always on the springboard for looking for others' faults and their sins. We're not to be fault finders. People are not to view us as those that are always just looking for things that they do wrong. And beloved, we need to always look in the mirror first before we go and tell someone their fault. Galatians chapter 6. When someone does put us in a situation in which we would go to someone and tell them their fault, we must do it in meekness. And then remember Galatians 6, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, in verse 6, this brings us to a new aspect, I think, of the same text. Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Sounds pretty violent. So the Lord Jesus is instructing us in those times when you would go to someone with the Word of God to correct them or to help them or to restore them, but they refuse even your meek and gentle admonition. And they trample on you for coming to them. Has it ever happened to you? So the Lord Jesus is commanding us to be wise. Remember, we're to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're to be wise on how we behave towards recalcitrant and incorrigible persons. You might say, what's a recalcitrant person? That's someone who is obstinately uncooperative toward authority and discipline. That would be someone who is a recalcitrant. Someone who is incorrigible is one who will not be corrected or reformed. In the definition, it actually talks about someone being stiff-necked. So listen, there's going to be a time when you answer a fool according to their folly, and there's going to be a time when you don't. And those two proverbs are next door to one another. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like unto him. So you have to know when those times are. And here, Jesus says, don't cast your pearls. What's pearls? What's the pearls? I mean, it's the Word of God. It's the truths of God's Word. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. Remember the pearl of great price? Matthew chapter 13. But Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine, for they will trample the good Word of God under their feet. Now listen, as you make judgments and as you witness and talk to people about Christ, you may not know that they will be that swine or that dog. But after you talk to them, it may come to this, where they become very obstinate and stiff-necked against the Word of God. That is when you stop casting your pearls before them. In other words, you may not know that they're dogs or swine until after you've seen how they've either received or resisted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once you've had that regrettable experience of them trampling the Word of God and you, and make no mistake about it, they'll trample you too. And listen, we should never present the message of Christ as saying, hey, look, I'm just a messenger. No, Christ is in you. You embrace that message. Don't try and just deflect it off to Christ. Listen, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is in you. That's your message too. but it's the message of Christ. So listen, they'll trample the word and you. And then, beloved, you are to give them no more opportunities to do so. It's God's way of shutting you up toward them. You don't cast your pearls before swine. Look at Hebrews 10:28, the book of the Hebrews. 10:28. And listen, this is where you need wisdom and discernment. And so herein is a different form of judgment that Jesus is teaching his apostles and disciples and the people on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you need to be able to discriminate. You need to be able to judge when you witness the word, when you cast your pearls out there, and when to not do it. So Hebrews 10:28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much surer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Listen, when Stephen, holy Stephen, told those men when he preached, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the instrument of the word of the instrument of the Spirit of God is the Word of God. They resisted the Word of God. They resisted the Spirit of God. They resisted the only means for their salvation. Here the writer says, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So here again in verse 6, the Lord is teaching us that we must be able to judge and discriminate between persons to whom we will endeavor to correct and help, to whom we will witness to and preach the word of God to them, to witness the word of God to them, and to those whom we will not go to and admonish or correct. He's clearly saying here, don't cast your pearls before swine. You have to have the discernment to know whether you have one of those types of persons standing before you. Listen, it's highly offensive to God to have his word trampled on and disrespected, and to have his own love and patience and long-suffering treated with such contempt, in that he would send one of his servants to one who is lost and hell-bound, a lost and hell-bound sinner, to testify of the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that person turns again and rends him. Look at Matthew 27. This is Christ himself before Pontius Pilate. Christ gives us a living example here. Matthew 27 and verse 11. Matthew 27 and verse 11. Jesus before Pilate says, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Dogs and swine, brethren, a generation of vipers. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Answered him to never a word. Luke 23:8. Beloved, this is one thing that I would endeavor to pray about, is when to not speak, when to not cast your pearls before swine. Because it's clear that there are those times. Luke 23:8, this is Herod, first Pontius Pilate. Here's Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. Herod was a buffoon of many sorts. he was desirous to see him of a long season because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to see some miracle done by him. Just wanted to see a magic show. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he, Jesus, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Never said a word, didn't utter a peep, didn't cast his pearls before swine. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts 13, 44. And listen, when those people to whom you will not or no longer cast your pearls before them, believe me, in their hearts and minds, your silence will speak loud and clear. Your silence will speak. Acts 13:44 says here, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. There's a very fearful phrase in this verse 46. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But he says, but seeing you put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Can you imagine hearing those words? You judge yourselves worthy, unworthy of everlasting life. That's the last time we'll speak to you. We're not going to utter another word about it to you. It was necessary that the word of God would come to you. It's not going to be a savor of life to you. It's going to be a savor of death. The word has been spoken to you, not unto your salvation, but unto your eternal damnation. What a scary passage of the scriptures here. Seeing ye put the word of God far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, you now have your wish. Lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. 18:5 of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. This is our wonderful Corinth. Acts 18:5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Wow, can you do that? Can you testify that Jesus is Christ? That's the best way that's the best place to start when you talk to somebody about the Lord. Talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. Press upon them that Jesus is the Messiah. Yeshua is the anointed one. And when they opposed themselves, see that in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. 2 Timothy, here it is. They opposed themselves and blasphemed. He, Paul, shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will not speak to you one more time about the gospel. I will go to the Gentiles, saith the Apostle Paul. So let us learn from these examples, the Lord Jesus Christ being the preeminent example, not to cast our pearls before those who judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Let me show you a few supporting texts. Go to Proverbs 9 and verse 7. You probably know this already. Proverbs 9, 7, the scriptures teach us this is a good cross-reference from Matthew 7, 6, 9 and 7 of the Proverbs. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So reprove not a scorner. And look, he gives you all the the indicators here for you. You rebuke someone that's a scorner and they hate you, you've just seen who you are not, no longer to cast your pearls before them. If they hate you for the truth, don't say, well, I'm going back again. God says no. Don't try and be noble. No, 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 I'm going back again. They just trampled the word of God and you. Jesus says, silent. Be silent to them. 15:12 of the Proverbs. 15:12. Listen, that is judgment. And the outward manifestation of that judgment is God shutting your mouth. 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. 23:9 of the Proverbs. And listen, let me just kind of make sure that we know where the line is drawn. If somebody's debating with you and somebody's asking questions, that doesn't mean they're a scorner. Remember, the clear indication of casting pearls before swine is the swine turns around and tramples you, runs you down, runs down your words, blasphemes like we see in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he would despise the wisdom of thy words. And that goes along with Proverbs 26:4-5. We can read those two, turn there, 26:4-5. He says, here, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. So you need to know when that is. You need to know when not to answer a fool. We're not always to be silent to the fool. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So we need to be wise enough to know when that is. Now, verse 29, chapter 29, look there in chapter 29. Here's the recalcitrant person, the incorrigible person. He that being often reproved, 29:1. He that being often reproved, and here's the result of the reproof does nothing. He hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There is no remedy. Scary passage. He that being often reproved. Listen, that should never be the makeup of you, child of God. You should be one who can be, and you should take reproof better than others in the world, lost people in the world. Listen, in the Psalms 141, just listen. The psalmist says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. So it tells us how we should reprove. And he says, yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. And so it tells us how we should desire to be smitten. When you read Whitfield's life, Whitfield wanted to know his faults. And if they didn't name them all, he gave them to them. 2 Chronicles 36, look there, two more, one in the Old Testament and one more in the New. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 14. This is in the reign of King Zedekiah. It says, moreover, verse 14, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. In other places it says rising up early, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord against his people, a wrath of the Lord arose against his people, and there was no remedy. no remedy. And then Matthew 15 and verse 10. Yeah, this is the Lord Jesus when he offended the Pharisees. It says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Listen, when you come face to face with a swine or a dog or a scorner, Jesus is telling you to follow his example. Let them alone. And in other words, they're being left to themselves. Listen, if someone's not going to receive the word of God, if they're not going to hear the truth of God's word, if they're not going to be corrected, he that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Don't cast your pearls before them. You leave them. Not perhaps in their company. This may be a person that you company with often. It may be someone very close to you, which is the hurtful and grievous part of it. But when it comes to preaching the gospel to them and they've trampled you, Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And so he's teaching us to be able to judge and discriminate when that is. When and when not. To witness the truth of God's word. Now, prayerfully, God will bring them to a place in which they want to hear the truth of God's word. And they question you. And that's where we have to be wise. Wise as serpent. Listen, it's happened to me. And it's like a floodgate when it opens. If you try and press that thing further than you should. And I have. And I've felt the feet of the swine. So listen, don't do that. And the Lord's clearly teaching us here. We need to be able to judge and discriminate that. So, amen. Well, let's dismiss in word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage in the word of God. We thank you, Father, that you teach us some very difficult things, hard things. Lord, I'm sure that every one of your children here have experienced some of this. Father, I pray that we would handle the word of God the right way and that we would know when and when not to speak. You teach us here, Father. Sometimes there's, as the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. And so, Lord, teach us those times. Help us to have wisdom, Father, that your word and your person is not dishonored. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be obedient to your revealed will. Help us. Be with our brother Kevin, Lord. We pray for him. We miss him. I pray that you'd give me an entrance there and to be able to sit with him for a little while. We ask for your blessings and healing. I pray that this rest is really in the latter end, doing him well. And so we pray for him. Pray for Ken. Pray for Suzanne, Michelle, Dixie, the family. We pray. Be with the Duhans, we certainly miss them. We pray that you'd bless their trip and their time together as a family. Help us now as we go to our homes. Lord, I pray you would receive all the honor and the glory for all the word that's been preached today. I pray it was honoring to you. Be with Joseph, the young man, Carly, those that were here that were lost. Be with Barry, we pray for them. Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to them. Oh God, help us. We pray for Hope. Lord, we pray for Michelle. We pray for Dixie. Lord, we pray for our children that they would know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the salvation of their souls. We'll give you all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any parting prayer requests? Anything? Before we, yes, ma'am. Oh, is she okay? Was that breast cancer?
Yes.